Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Shvuos Tesayin. We begin on top at the second line. Kol Sheit Loi Nasis B'Cholei L'B'Chul. Back to the Mishnah, where we learned that when it comes time to establish Kedusha, to initiate Kedusha at the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim, they are required to follow a very specific protocol involving many features. We need a king, we need the Navi, we need the Urim V'Tumim, right? The special Shem HaMeforesh within the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol. We need the Sanhedrin marching along. We need two breads of the Korban Toida or the Mincha, as we learned yesterday. And, they go around the area, they walk along the boundary of the sanctified area, and that makes it Kaddish. Now, what if you're missing one of those elements? Do we require the whole, full list to make it happen? What if they're missing something? They don't have all the equipment. For instance, during the time of Ezra, when he was Mekadesh, Yerushalayim, the city, the Beis HaMikdash, when they reestablished, when they rebuilt. So if we look in the Psukim, in Nehemiah Yud Beis, we find that, they did this procedure, but they were certainly missing some elements because it was Bayesheni. There was no Urim V'Tumim, as the Gemara in Yom Chaf Aleph tells us. They didn't have the Urim V'Tumim. They didn't have a king either. So how did they do it? That's the question I'm going to deal with today. So again, Kol Shel Inasis B'Chaleilu, if the Kedusha was attempted with this incomplete procedure, meaning let's say they're missing these elements, it doesn't work. What does this mean? If you're missing even one, or as long as you have something on that list, you're okay. We have a machlokes itmar. We learned Rab Huna Amar Bechal Eilu Tana. When the mission says Bechal, it means literally the entire list. The king, the Navi, Urim V'Tumim. Otherwise, it doesn't work. Bechal Eilu Tana. Rav Nachman Amar No. When it says Bechal, it means anything within this entire list. Preferably everything, but even an incomplete list is okay. Ba'achas Mechal Eilu Tana. One of these features is sufficient to initiate Kedusha. What is this machlekes connected to? What does it depend on? What's the root of this dispute? So again, we refer back to that story in history where during the time of Nehemiah, they in fact applied this procedure, but as we explained, it was an incomplete procedure. They didn't have access to everything. No king, no Urim V'Tumim, and still they did it. So perhaps you can prove from there that even that's adequate. On the other hand, you can say, what were they doing there? They were just reestablishing an old Kedusha. The Kedusha had already been applied way back when, during Bayis Rishon, when David and Shlomo, right, established the Beis HaMikdash. So perhaps they didn't even need to go ahead and renew the Kedusha. It was just carried over from the first Beis HaMikdash. So you can't really prove anything from that story. Says the Gemara, in fact, that's the root of this machlokes. How to regard the process applied during Bayis Sheni. Kasavar, Rav Huna, who says that really all these components are critical, he holds that although during Ezra's time they didn't, because Kedusha Rishona, the initial Kedusha that was there since the first time, Kitcha L'Shata was applied for its time, V'Kitcha L'Sadlavai, and for all time. It was a permanent feat, it was a permanent Kedusha. It carried over. V'Ezra, and although Ezra did do some type of procedure later on. Zecher ba'amud, there's a zecher, something reminiscent of the real thing. It was just sort of a ceremonial, you know, march to reinforce, to highlight, to publicize the Kedusha. He did something. It wasn't really required, certainly wasn't critical, and therefore, although he was lacking some real fundamental features, no Urim v'Tumim, etc., it didn't really matter. But typically, if you want to really initiate a Kedusha anew, you want to sanctify a new area, you want to expand an area that was not there into an area, a new area, you have to do the proper procedure with all these features. Rav Nachman disagrees. He says, no, of course it was a proper Kedusha. Of course they were trying to initiate and apply Kedusha anew, because the old Kedusha expired. The Kedusha is dependent upon us being on the land. Once we went into exile, the Kedusha expired. They had to reestablish, they had to renew the Kedusha. And the fact that it was able to be done with a partial list indicates that you don't need the full list. It's not critical. Rav Nachman Omer Ba'achas M'Kolei Tanan, even one of these elements are enough to apply the Kedusha. Kasavar, he holds, Kedusha Rishayna Kedusha L'Shata. Although there was initial Kedusha way back during the first Beis HaMikdash, it was only temporary. For its time, L'Kedusha L'Shalove did not carry on permanently. Ve'ezra, who came back and was Mekadesh Kedusha Kodesh, in fact, did establish a proper Kedusha, a brand new Kedusha, Afakab Lehavu Urim V'Tum, even though he didn't have access to Urim V'Tum, apparently, it doesn't hold back the process. Eisvei Rava Rav Nachman. Rava asks a question to Rav Nachman, who says that a incomplete list works. Kol Shalei Nasas B'Chol Elu. Mishnah says, unless you do it with all these elements, it doesn't work. Tani will interpret it, B'Achas M'Chol Elu. B'Chol doesn't mean a full, complete list. It means within this list, some is sufficient. B'Achas M'Chol Elu. To Ashmai comes Akash on Rav Nachman, who says, even without all components, it can be done. Abashol Aymer. Abashol tells us an interesting thing. Shnei Bitzin, there were two sort of marshes, two muddy areas, Hoyu Bahara Mishcha, were found on a mountain called Hara Mishcha. Mishcha is oil, another term for Hara Zesim, the olive mountain, which is adjacent to the Beis HaMikdash, next mountain out of Yerushalayim. Two areas, Tachtayna Valyoyna, a lower area, closer to the city, Valyoyna, one which was further up, a little further away. They were both enclosed within the wall, right? Both encircled within the wall. But there was a difference. Tachtayna Neskasha B'Chaleilu. The lower area had been sanctified using all these required elements mentioned in the Mishnah. It was done properly, 100%. Elyonah, the upper one, however, was not really properly sanctified. Because it was done second time around when they returned from exile. Shalei b'melech, right? Shalei b'urim v'tumim. They didn't have access to a king, to urim v'tumim. So now, tachtoyna, shayis kedusha asa gemura. There's a difference between the kedusha that was present on the lower area, which had been done properly, which was really considered full-fledged Yerushalayim, regarding all the halachas of eating, you know, kachim kalim within it, maser sheni within it. So Ami Ha'aretz, the unlearned people, nechnasin l'sham, would enter the lower area, v'yechon l'sham kachim kalim, they would eat karbonis like a shlam, but interestingly enough, v'lei maser sheni, they wouldn't have their maser sheni there. Why not? It's actually an interesting thing, because they were told by their Rebbe, by the Rav and the Shul, you know, it's a big segula to do tzedakah, to do maser properly, aser to aser, right? Aser b'shvil shadis asher. You want to get wealthy, do maser properly. So they would want to do it 100%. They would take the maser sheni and run all the way into Yerushalayim, because it says v'chalta fein Hashem alekecha, all the way inside into the real place to do it properly, 100%, so they get all the positive, you know, benefits and dividends off their maser sheni efforts. So they wouldn't suffice with the, you know, added area, the annexed area, all the inside. V'chaverim, but you know, ordinary educated people who knew the truth. Oichlan sham kachim kalim, they weren't concerned. This is also fully kadosh. They would eat kachim kalim there, or maser sheni. Okay. Avel yoin, in contrast to the upper area, shloi ha'isak kedusha sakmura, which didn't have a proper kedusha. So Ami Ha'aretz, who didn't know any better, ha'yichlan sham, They would eat their karbanas there. Avali Maser Sheni, but again, Maser Sheni, they were meticulous with. They would, you know, make sure to eat it in the original, you know, legit Yerushalayim. The Chaverim ain't Eichlin Sham, but the Chaverim who knew the truth that this wasn't really properly sanctified, they would keep away from the area altogether. Ain't Eichlin Sham, like Kachem Kalim, for the Maser Sheni, they wouldn't have karbanas or Maser Sheni. Now, why didn't they apply a proper kedusha to that area? Because she'ein moisifin ala ir v'ala zareis ela b'melech v'navi v'urim v'tumim. Right? In order to expand the city, in order to annex this, they have to have all these components: king, a navi, urim v'tumim, b'sanhedrin. Right? The grand court, shalayin aleph of 71 sages. Uber stay toides, uber shir, right? The two breads, the singing. Well, I'm sure. So why did they make kedusha? What do you mean, lo makedusha? We just said harmless. You just told me lo makedusha. They didn't. They were not successful. Ela lo meichnisua. Now the question is, why did they encircle it with a wall if it wasn't really halachically part of the city? Because it was a soft spot of Yerushalayim, meaning somehow the topography over there would make Yerushalayim vulnerable from that corner, which would make Yerushalayim vulnerable to attack. So they would close it in and cover it with the wall, although technically it wasn't really, didn't have the kedush of Yerushalayim. Clearly, the Bryce is telling us, unless you have all these elements, including the Melech and the Urim V'Tumim, it's a non-starter. In contrast to Rav Nachman, who says they're not required. Answers the Gemara Tanoi, you're right. In fact, it is a Machlekes Tanoim, so this Braisa will disagree with another Braisa which holds that in fact we don't need all these elements. And again, what's the concept here? What does this depend on? So it depends on how to view the experience that happened during the time of Ezra, where they were Mekadesh with a partial, you know, repertoire of equipment, so to speak. Was it really a necessary kedusha? Because they needed to renew the kedusha, in which case you can prove from there that an incomplete portfolio works, or shall we say it was just ceremonial, in which case you can't prove anything from there. And what does that tell you? Whether the first kedusha during the first Beis HaMikdash carried over forever, or whether it expired when we left the land. Tanoi, the Sani, we have Machlekes and a Brice. Amar B'lezer. Shamati, I heard from my teachers, during the second Beis HaMikdash, when they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, also Kloim Lahechel, Ukloim Lazores. When they rebuilt the Hechel, when they rebuilt the Azores, they would make these temporary partitions, these enclosures, during construction. There was one difference between the Hechel and the Azores. Hechel, of course, was holier. So there, Elisha Behechel, Boinin Bachutz, they would make the enclosure over the boundary of the future Hechel, over the, you know, where the wall is meant to be, but they would build right outside. They would actually build the wall outside, so the workers were standing outside the enclosure, so they don't, you know, gaze into the Hechel while they're working. Uba Azores, however, when it comes to the Azores, the outlying, you know, areas of the Beis HaMikdash, Boin Befnim, they would erect this sort of curtain, this partition, they would build within that area. And we're assuming the reason is because according to Rabbi Lezer, this was to facilitate offering karbanis during time of construction. You need to have some sort of a place that's enclosed in order to give it kedusha. So they enclosed it with this temporary partition, gave it kedusha, and you know, it served as a temporary enclosure while the heavy construction was proceeding. Because according to Rabbi Lezer, they needed to enact a new kedusha because the original one was expired. Amar Bishua, no, Shamati, I heard Shemakriven, Avo Bishain Bayis. No problem, they can bring kabbarnas even without an erected structure. As long as you're on the place which is Kaddish from way back. Oichlan Kachi, Kachim, Avo Bishain Klaim. Likewise, you can eat the holiest karbanis, the chatas, the asham, even without the Hechel in place. Klaim here refers to the Mishkan, which had curtains, but it's just an expression meaning, even without the actual building standing, if you know where it was standing, it's the last Kedusha, it retains the old Kedusha. Likewise, Kochim Kala, Master Sheni, the lower Karbanis, Master Sheni in Yerushalayim, Avav B'Shem Chaim, even if you don't have a wall standing now. Well, you know why? Because Shekdusha Rishayna, because the original Kedusha from way back is still there. Kechala Shato, Kechala Sid Lavai, was there for then, is there for now. Apparently, Lav Mechlad Rav Lezer Savar. Apparently, Rav Lezer disagrees, who says they had to reestablish Kedusha anew. Savar, he holds, like Kechala Sid Lavai, the original one did not carry over for future generations. Clearly, it's a Machlekes Tanoi. Amar Ravino Ravashi, Mimai, who says this is the correct interpretation of the Machlekes? Perhaps all agree. The original Kedusha is still present. There's no discussion about that. Dilma de Kuli Alma, perhaps both, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, concur that Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha Lashata, Vekitcha Lashadlavi, the original Kedusha during the first Beis HaMikdash, is still around. As Rabbi Yeshua clearly states, Rabbi Lezer never meant to disagree with that. Umar Maideshmi Aleka Amar, he was just saying over what he heard. They were both giving us sort of anecdotes regarding the reconstruction of Beis HaMikdash. Umar Madashmi Ali Kamar, he was saying what he heard. Chitemeh, perhaps you'll ask, if so, why curtains, according to Rabbi Lezer? Why temporary partitions during construction? Claim Rabbi Lezer Lamli, well, just to provide privacy for the Beis HaMikdash in the meantime during the, you know, construction. Listen to Sebaum. So there goes that theory. There's no machlekes regarding Kedusha. Rather, we found a different machlekes tanoim who are clearly arguing about this point whether or not they had to renew the kedusha during Bayis Sheni. The Sanya. Amar Shmuel Rav Yosi. Lama manu chachamim eseilu. If you look in the Mishnayos at the end of Maseches Erechin, speaking about walled cities in Yerushalayim, ayoros mukafes chayma, which have special status. For instance, you have to send away people with tzaras from within those cities. They have special kedusha, those cities. You buy a house in that city, you have a year to redeem it. You sell a house, you have a year to redeem it, etc., etc. And the Chachamim provided a partial list, a very short list of cities who qualify. Why only those? There are so many other cities that we know of. Lama manu Chachamim es elu. The answer is Shekesha'olu b'nei ha'goyle, because when the Jews came up from exile, Matzu elu v'kitchum, they encountered these cities and they sanctified them with the elevated Kedusha of Arei Chaim. Aval Rishonis, but the original cities, although they were walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, batlu. Their Kedusha expired. Misha batla aratz, when the Kedusha of the land expired when we left the land. Alma Kasavar, clearly, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi holds that the Kedusha expires. Kedusha Rishonis, Kitcha L'shat, although it was there at the time, but it's no longer. L'kitcha L'shalavi, it needs to be renewed. V'ramini, we have a kasha from another Braisa, which actually quotes the same author, the same Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi. Oh, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, v'chayelu b'lvad hayu. These couple of cities on the list are the only ones who qualify. V'alekval nemar, the pasuk describes many, many walled cities. Shishim, 60, Shishim, Ir, Kol Chevel, Argev, Mamlech, Zayg, Babashim, Kol Eila, were great big cities, walled cities, fortified cities, Arim, Basuris, Chaim, Gavoya. So why limit ourselves to just a couple of cities? Ella, Loma, Manu, Chachamim, Meseil. So why do Chachamim suffice with a short list? The answer is, Shekesh'olah b'nei ha'goyle, because when Jews came back from exile, Motzu Eilu v'Kitchum, they encountered these cities and they sanctified them. Kitchum, they had to sanctify them? Ha'ashta, Kitchum Hashta. So you need to be Mekadosh them. Now? Again, all over again? Ha'amrina l'kamon. In a minute, we're going to see in the same brayso, we're about to say that you don't need to renew the Kedusha. It's already there from past. Ha'amrina l'kamon. D'lo tzricha l'kedusha. What do you mean, do a makadosh it now? Ella, rather, he meant to say, matzu elu umanu. They encountered these walled cities, and they just counted them. So, circumstantially, they happened to find these cities. They drove by these cities, so they put them on the list. But in fact, there are so many others who qualify. V'le'ilu b'vad, not only these, ela kol shatala biyodecha mesoiris mavisecha. Any city that you have a mesoiris, a tradition from your parents, that in fact it was walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, when they entered the country the first time, shemekefas chayma mimoiz Yeshua ben Nun, like by Purim. If that's the case, kol mitzvahs elu nehagis, for all these mitzvahs pertaining to a walled city apply to those cities as well. You know why? Although they didn't renew the Kedusha today, it doesn't matter. It carries over from the past. Because the original Kedusha established way back, Kitcha Lashat was for that time, the Kitcha Lasad Lava. So now we clearly have two brises reflecting both sides of this debate. Right? The original Kedusha expired or did not expire. And that's corresponds to the machlokes that we had way back between Rav Huna, who says, in order to be Mekadesh, a city, in order to be Mekadesh, Yerushalayim, specifically, or the Beis HaMikdash and the Azores, we need to do that whole, you know, march with all those components. You're missing anything, it doesn't work. And the fact that Ezra did it without it, it doesn't prove anything, because it was just ceremonial. Because really, it was already Kaddish. Rav Nachum says, no. Even when you're lacking some of those elements, you can still do Kedusha. And brings a right from the story by Ezra Nehemiah, who needed to renew the Kedusha, for the old Kedusha expired. Now, just one more point. Don't we seem to have a contradiction within Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi's opinion? In one brayse, he says it's okay. One brayse says it's not okay. Kasha the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. We have a kasha from one brayse of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, who says the original Kedusha was still intact. Ad the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, and the other Rabbi Shmuel says it's not intact. One way to say it is three Tanoim. Vali the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, two versions, two Tanoim, with different versions of the same source. Iba Yisema, another possibility is Chad Minayu. One of these two brises is actually a different shita. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi Amr. Instead of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, was Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, who was found to have said a similar point regarding those walled cities, the Sanya. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi Amr. If you look in the Chumash, look in the Torah, in the Sefer Torah, at the spelling of the Pasuk, which speaks about a walled city. It's spelled with an Aleph. Asher loy chayma. We read it, we pronunciate it like a Vav, loy. Asher loy chayma. It features a wall. But in the spelling, it's with an Aleph. It does not have a wall. Asher loy chayma. What's the point here? To tell you. Aval pi she'en loy achshav. Although, it no longer features a wall. It's been destroyed, been removed. It's a loy. Loy chayma. That's okay. As long as it had a wall, originally. Had it originally. That too qualifies as a walled city. So clearly, according to him, the original Kedusha carries over. Okay, says the Gemara Nitma Ba'azora, back to the Mishnah, where we learn that if a fellow who became Tamei enters the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity, if he did it unintentionally, b'shogeg, he brings a korban oila v'yoyred, a special korban. Likewise, Nitma Azora. Venel v'menotuma, if he was already in the Azora, perfectly fine, and suddenly something lands on him and makes him tummy, he has to get up quickly. And if he lingers, if he tarries long enough, either he actually bows, he does ishtachava, or long enough that you can do an ishtachava, let's say, you know, a minute, whatever, or he takes the longer route out of the Beis HaMikdash, he's just as liable as one who enters when tummy, and he has to bring a carbon. Nitma ba'azora, v'nelma, menotuma. So he was in there, he became tummy, then he forgot, then he tarried. Tuma ba'azor menolan. How do we know that in fact? If it occurred in the Azora, he's just as liable. You see, Rashi explains, the Pasuk says, v'lo yitamus machaneim, don't be metama the machan, don't come in when you're tummy. But he's already there, it happened inside. Who says the same rules apply? Amar Blazar, we have a special pasuk for that. Because Kosev Echad Omer, one pasuk says, Es Mishkan Hashem Timei. He was metame the Mishkan of Hashem. He gets kares. Because of Echad Omer, we have another pasuk, which seems to be a repetition, repeating the same point. Ki es migdash Hashem Timei. If it's not needed for your standard, fellow who got tummy outside and walked in with his tumah, tneu inyan the tumah shebefnim, apply it to our case to warn a person inside who's already inside to get out quickly. Asks the Gemara, ukroi miyatri, you mean these psukim are extra? Hamitzuch Trichi, they're needed, they're very important for something else. To tell us that all the rules of Tumas Migdash apply whether you're in the Midbar by a Mishkan or you're in the Beis HaMikdash of Yerushalayim, you know, you wouldn't know one from the other. Perhaps there's a reason why it would apply to this one, not to that one. Let's see in a minute. The son of Lezo Eimer, he has a question. Em Namar Mishkan, Lamar Namar Migdash. Right? He asks this very question. Why repeat things? If it says, don't walk into the Mishkan, then why repeat it again to the about the Migdash? Em Namar Migdash, once we speak about Migdash, Lamar Namar Mishkan, why say Mishkan? The answer is Ilu Nema Mishkan, V'lo Nema Migdash. The pasuk would only speak about the Mishkan and not the Migdash. There would be room to differentiate. I would say, well, Al Mishkan Yechayev, he's chayev for doing it in the Mishkan. Shere Mashuach B'Shamana Mishkan has elevated status. It was anointed with the holy oil, right? Migdash lo Yechayev, but it doesn't apply to the Beis HaMikdash. We didn't have that, which didn't have that feature. On the other hand, V'im Nema Migdash, V'lo Nema Mishkan, if the pasuk would only warn against doing it by the Migdash and not speaking about the Mishkan. I would say, well, he's Eimer, I'm Migdash Yechayev. He's only liable for the Migdash, Sharei Kedushas HaKedushas Olam, because it's a permanent structure, it's forever. Rashi says, Ein Acharei Heter Bomois, the idea of bringing a carbon on your private Mizbeach, in your backyard, once you did the Beis HaMikdash, once it was built, that's the only place to bring carbonis. It's a permanent system, it's a long-term system. So yeah, over there, you know, you're more liable. Aval Mishkan lo yechayev, but it doesn't apply to the Mishkan, which is only a temporary thing. That's why the pasuk has to stress that it applies to both. Lochei nemar Mishkan, lochei nemar Migdash. So the pasukim are needed for this. They're not extra. They're not available to teach us what we are looking for, which is a source that the rules, the same rules apply for a tumah that occurred in the Mishkan, inside the, you know, the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan. Answers the Gemara, actually, we can learn both points from this, from the same psukim. The fact that we have two psukim, and the fact that the pasuk switched terms, went from Mishkan to Mikdash. Rav Leza Hochi Gukashile. So the way Tosis explains it, the Gemara means like this. I understand we need two psukim. One for the Mishkan, one for the Mikdash. But still, there's no need to switch our terms. Because really, Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable. We find that the Mishkan was called Mikdash, right? By the Mishkan, it says, Vasuli Mikdash, V'shachante B'Seichem, right? By the Mishkan. You see, Mikdash and Mishkan are interchangeable. We find that the Torah refers to the Beis HaMikdash as a Mishkan, V'nasati Mishkani B'Seichem, right? In the future, you're going to have a Mishkan, you can have Beis HaMikdash. So, why did the pasuk switch terms? To teach us the added halacha. Whether it occurred outside or inside. Blaza had the following question. Michti, look, Mishkan ikri, Mikdash, Umikdash ikri, Mishkan, we find that the same term applies to both equally. So why not keep it one way or the other? Nichtev, you should say it either both times. Both times you should say Mikdash. On both psukim, you should say Mishkan. Mishkan or Mikdash. Lamali, why switch back and forth? Shema Menatati, apparently we learn both halachis. Where do we find that these terms are interchangeable? Bishlam Mikdash, Ikri Mishkan, we find that the word Mishkan, that term applies to the Beis HaMikdash as well. Yachsir Venosati, Hashem is telling us about the future, Beis HaMikdash. Venosati, Mishkani, calls it Mishkan, right? Besechachem. Ela Mishkan Dikri Mikdash Menon. Where do we find that the term Mikdash applies to the Mishkan as well? Ilam Mimdachsev, is it from the Pasuk? V'nasuaka Hasim Noisiyah Mikdash. That the Levim from family of Kahas would carry the, you know, the Mikdash, meaning the parts of the Mishkan. Clearly, Mikdash describes Mishkan. No, perhaps that's referring to the holiness of the Mishkan, the holiest feature, which is the Arayin, Ha'uba Arayin Ksev, which they carry. So perhaps it's specific to that. It's not a general description on the Mishkan. Elo Mehocha, rather, is from this Pasuk, in Pashas Teruma, relating to the upcoming building of the Mishkan, and calls it a Mikdash. Vasali Mikdash. V'shachanti B'seichem, that's clearly referring to the Mishkan. Uksiv, as the Pasuk says, K'chol asher ani ma'ara ischa es tabnis ha-Mishkan. Okay, so bottom line is that the rules apply equally to the Mishkan, to the Mikdash, whether he was tummy outside and wants to walk in, or whether he became tummy inside, get out quickly. Let's say he tarried He diddle-daddled. Vishtachva, he bowed while he was tamei. Oishishah, kedishtachava, or this fellow who encountered Tuma in the Migdash bowed, or he waited long enough that he could bow. The amount of time that it takes to bow, let's say a minute, he's liable. Amar Rava leishono elishishtachva kalbi pnim. The chiyah for bowing is only if he does it properly. Facing inward, facing the west, facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the proper way of bowing. But if he bowed in the other direction, it's not a proper bow. He's not liable, unless he stuck around long enough that it takes to do a bow, right? Which is, let's say, that minute, right? So he does a quick bow. He's chayiv, if he did it properly, to the west. But if he does a quick bow to the east, that doesn't qualify, unless He stuck around for a minute. So he's chayiv because he tarried, not because he bowed. Right? There's two separate types of liabilities. The actual bowing, as quick as it takes, or sticking around long enough for a standard bow. But if he did it to the exterior, shah in. He's only liable if he stuck around long enough that it takes to do a proper bow. Loi shah, but otherwise loi not. Ikud demasin la sefer. Some had a different version of Rav's halacha, which really amounts to the same result. Oishe shah b'shtei shachavoy. Mishnah said if he stuck around long enough that it takes to bow, he's chayiv. Apparently, the act of bowing requires a minimum amount of time. It takes time to do it. I'm a rabba. Leshono, that's only correct. If he bowed in the wrong direction, so then he's only chayiv because of the timing, the length of time. So yeah, if it took a minute, fine. But less than that, it doesn't make him liable because A, the timing wasn't enough, and B, the act wasn't a proper bow. Aval klapei pnim, if he bowed towards the west, the actual act of bowing makes him liable, even if he did it really quick. Aval klapei leisho. V'chikomer, that's what the Mishnah means. Hishtachva klapei pnim, if he bowed to the west, as quick as it took, oy shesho, or shesho, kedei hishtachavo, or he procrastinated, he tarried the amount of time that it takes to do a proper bow, b'hach hishtachavo klapei chutz. Theoretically, if he would have bowed to the other side, the wrong side, so if he stuck around long enough for a proper bow, then he's chayiv. So again, bottom line is, one entered the Beis HaMikdash while he was tired, encountered Tumah in there. If he rushed out, he's okay. If he stuck around and bowed properly towards the west, toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim, even if it's a quick express bow, he's chayiv. Or if he stuck around long enough that it takes for a standard bow, let's say a minute or whatever, in a minute, the Gemara will tell us exactly how long this is, and he's also chayiv. Now, heichi dami hishtachava d'isba shihia, heichi dami hishtachava d'lesba shihia. So we speak about a quick bow and a proper bow. How do you get a quick bow and a proper bow? Says him with less bashiya, the quick bow, zukriya ba'amu. That's a fellow who simply, bowed on his knees, a quick bow. He didn't actually, prostrate himself on the floor. Kriya ba'amu. The isbashiya, what's the full length bow? Pishut, yadayim raglayim. Fully outstretched on his hands and feet on the floor. Okay, so in terms of the amount of time, how long does this take? Pligibo, there's machlagis between Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni and his colleague, Bechadimi, the one with him, whose name was Umane, who was he? Rabbi Shimon Pazi. V'amrila, some say it goes the other way. Rabbi Shimon Pazi, he was the main one. Bechadimi, the one with him, was Umane, who Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni. V'amrila, some say his name was Rabbi Shimon Nachmeni. Okay, so in any case, what's the machlagis? How long is this? Chad Omar. One said like this, K'memre dai psukah, as long as it takes to read out this full pasuk describing the people who are bowing. The pasuk is coming up in a second. V'chadam, the other one says, K'me v'yichru l'seifa, not the full pasuk, only from the words v'yichru to the end of the pasuk. And the pasuk here is in Divrei HaYamim, that they experienced the glory of Hashem, and they bowed, v'chol, v'nei Yisrael, royim, b'reda se'esh, took note of the fire of Hashem, Echvoid Hashem al Abayis. And here begins the word Vayichru. Vayichru apayim arza, they bowed fully, ala ritzva vayishtachvu, vahoydeis la Hashem kitev gulim chasa. So it's either as long as it takes to read the full pasuk, or from the words Vayikru to the end. Tanu Rabbanu, we speak about forms of bowing. We actually find in the sources three different types. Kida, alapayim. Kida means a fellow standing upright, not really bending his knees, and slowly just tilts himself down, 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 down with his face, hitting all the way to the floor. Pretty grand move. You need to be very agile for that. V'chenu oimer v'atikoid bas-sheva, she did it in front of David, apayim arza. Actually, the Gemara speaks about Levi from the Gemara. He was injured attempting to do it in front of Rebbe. We know Rebbe HaKadosh suffered a lot of hardships in Yisurim. And Levi would come and try to, you know, lighten up his mood a little bit, amuse him, and do these gymnastic, you know, exercises in front of him. And he was very agile. And in fact, one time when he attempted it, it would basically require him to be very, very, very versatile and agile. You would stand, you know, upright and keep your knees straight and just bend your back down, 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 and get all the way to the floor and just support yourself with your thumbs and get yourself back up. And he exerted himself once and he got injured. So that's the kida. What's a kriya? What is that? Al brachaim, on your knees. Just down on your knees. So we see kriya is just on the knees. What's the full-fledged hishtachava, prostrating, fully outstretched? So pishut, yadam raglaim, chenu oimer, as the pasuk says. Oh, this week's parasha, avoy navoy. So this is regarding Yosef Hatzadik's dream, seeing them, you know, doing hishtachava, and Yaakov responds, Yaakov Vino tells him, avoy navoy. You think I'm going to come with your mother? Ani v'imcha v'achecha l'shtachavos l'cha arza. So clearly, shtachava is flat out on the floor. Boy, Rava, tzorach shehiyo l'malkos. This requirement of tarrying a prescribed amount of time to trigger liability in the Beis Hamikdash. That pertains to kares. It pertains to karban if it's v'shegig. What about if he was warned by the aid? No, do that. You're going to get malkos. And he just stuck around a few seconds. He didn't stick around a full minute. That's required. Is this shehiyah, that this tarrying, you know, requirement, is this required for Malkus as well? So anything less than that does not trigger Malkus? Or perhaps he can get Malkus even without having waited so long in the Beis HaMikdash. Shall we say, l'karbon gemiri? You know, this whole thing is, by the way, the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. So din that tarrying around for this amount of time makes him liable. So perhaps it was l'karbon gemiri. This halacha was applicable only to a karbon. L'karbon gemiri shia l'malkus. Regarding malkus, lo gemiri shia. We don't have a halacha m'frisina for that. Perhaps. On the other hand, b'fnim gemiri shia. Perhaps halacha m'frisina was said regarding all tumas that occurred in the mikdash, whether it pertains to kares, malkus, or you know, karbon. Lo yishnal l'karbon. Lo yishnal malkus. Whether it pertains to karbon or malkus, we're not sure. Take it. We leave it unresolved. Okay. So bottom line is, we learned about the grand march that was required to affix Kedusha on Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, and had all these wonderful elements, the Melech, the Navi, the Urim Betumim, worn by the Kohen Gadol, right? They had the Sanhedrin, song, and instruments. Machlekes is whether, you know, if you don't have all these features, can you still go ahead or not? Machlekes, which really depends on how to interpret the story regarding Nehemiah there, where they didn't have access to all, and they still did Kedusha. Was it for real? Because they needed to renew the Kedusha, which had already expired, in which case you can prove from there that an incomplete list of, you know, equipment works. On the other hand, you can say it was just ceremonial, because in any case, it was already Kaddish from the past, in which case you can't prove anything from there. And this really ties into the Machlokes Tanaim, whether the original Kedusha carried over or needed to be renewed. If one was already in the Beis HaMikdash and he encountered Tumah, he's got to rush out quickly. If he stuck around and either bowed properly or waited the amount of time that one typically takes to bow, he's Chayiv Karis, if it's V'shegig Ei Karban. Regarding Malkus, we had a question and we described the various types of bowing, Kida, Kriya, and Ishtachava. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rab.